I'm grateful tonight that we can count on the fact that Jesus is going to be everything that we need. He is a great Heavenly Father. And over the years, I've had a few of them now that I've lived for Him. He's never let me down. There have been times that I've let Him down, but He's never once let me down. And in His mercy, He's come and corrected me, and went hunting for me times when I was not doing well, and He'd knock on my door and say, "Come on back home, son. Come on back in my arms. Let me love you back home." And that's the kind of God we have. He's everything. That I'm not saying, you know, we're out of when we sin, but I'm in our course of life, there's places that we find that we've kind of got. Things don't work well. We're going through some things, and we just need the special care of our Lord, the Good Shepherd, and He goes over there hunting for us, hunting for the bruised ones, hunting for the broken ones, and says, "Won't you come on? Come on back in my fold. I want to shelter you." That's the kind of God we have tonight. I'd like to introduce you tonight to a young man named Mephibosheth. Y'all heard of him? Maybe a little bit of an unusual character in the Bible, somebody that we may not know of very much. He's got an interesting story. He had pretty unfortunate things happen in his life. He was the son of a grandson of a king. His father's name was Jonathan. His grandfather's name was Saul. You know, that seemed like a pretty good lineage. He likely could have thought that maybe somewhere, I know he was a young man when he was a crippled. He had things happen to him when he was young, misfortune, nothing that he intended to happen. It was one of those things, the course of life brought his way. But it crippled him for the rest of his life. And he had to deal with that. It could have been, as he was growing up, that he may have thought, "Well, maybe I can, I'm of royal blood. Someday, maybe, I can be king." But he found himself in, what's the name of that place? Lodabar? I think that's the name of the place that he was taken to. Let's go to some of the backstory of how he got there, why he's there. Again, his grandfather was King Saul. We know him in the Scripture. King Saul started out very well. He was an humble man, a man that was interested in doing God's will. And in the course of life, he was passing by. We're going to be over here in 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, here in a little bit, so you can turn there in your Bible. But I'm going to tell you more of this story, perhaps, and read it to you. I've read it, and I encourage you to also read it. But in the course of Saul's reign, he didn't do well in obeying the Lord. He started out well, but he somewhere began to spoil in his devotion to the Lord. And it cost him something. And because the Lord began to withdraw from Saul, there was another young man entered into the picture. We find him over taking care of sheep. We know his name is David. David was a young man. I don't think he had any particular aspirations of being king. I think he just wanted to do what the Lord wanted him to do. He was just interested in pleasing and doing and taking care of the sheep. He was out there taking care of these sheep and doing the best job he knew how to. And as he was out there, he was likely writing some songs. He may well have had his musical instrument out there trying to compose some of the psalms that we read today. I don't know when all that was done. I know some of it was done in some distresses that he went through. But he was a man that had his heart turned toward the Lord, a young man, another young man. But the Lord takes young people who's willing to give their hearts to him, and he develops them and brings them. Oh, he loves the realness, the genuineness of a young heart that's looking hungrily to him. He doesn't need that heart to be perfect. He needs it to be given to him. Because we're young. We're not always perfect. But he likes to take us in our raw material and take that and begin to develop and shape it into something that's a glorious life and an individual. Well, David was out tending sheep, and the Lord was not happy with the way Saul had conducted himself. He had disregarded God's counsel and the Lord decided, well, here's a young man, his heart's toward me. And he went and took that young man and told the prophet Samuel to go and anoint him to be king in his stead. So the hand of the Lord was on David. And as he yielded to the Lord's will, there came a point, because there was a separation between Saul and the Lord. There was such a ill at ease in Saul's spirit. He felt that separation. And folks, when we feel that separation, it leaves a real empty place in our heart. And Saul was feeling that very keenly. And it's described in the scripture, an evil spirit from the Lord. I don't think it was evil came from the Lord, but it was a sense of loss that he had. A separation from the Lord. That's a really difficult thing to deal with. And he had this, and it was a melancholy feeling that would sweep over him. And they said, let's get somebody who knows how to come and play sweetly on some instruments and maybe sing some of his songs to him. And here comes David was found. And they brought him in there. And David, again, the hand of the Lord was on David. And as David began to grow and progress, and Saul was soothed at, oh, these songs that we sing, aren't they soothing? Aren't they inspiring to our soul? Sometimes they're very touching to the very deep places in our soul. Sometimes they're revealing. There's a message in these songs, and sometimes they reveal places in us that we begin to see more clearly when we sing them. Open up our hearts to the Lord, and we hear His voice saying, calling us away from places, calling us to a place of greater victory. We hear these things in a song, don't we? They're soothing, they're encouraging, they're inspiring, they're calling to our very spirit. Saul had some of that, I believe. Don't know, he evidently didn't respond well completely to that, because there was this empty place in his heart. Oh, humility before the Lord does wonders in our heart. You know, we get in a place where we're all in trouble, and we are tempted many times to point fingers at everybody else who is the cause of our trouble. The best thing for us to do is humble down and seek God. We can spend all the rest of our days blaming everyone else and miss what God really has for us. It's much better to leave that down, lay it aside, and say, Lord, I need you. Because we do. He's really the one that we need. And He's the one who will supply all of our needs, our spiritual needs. Well, David, it seems like always in the kingdom, there's always, especially if we somehow are out of the will of the Lord, there's always outside influences that begin to attack. And Saul's kingdom felt that. Enemies began to attack and come in, and they weren't well equipped to deal with those. But the Lord had His hand on a young man over here. And sometimes in those battles, David came back with more trophies than Saul did, because the Lord's hand was on him. He didn't set out to try to be the number one of the battle. He just was pleasing the Lord. And in the course of pleasing the Lord, he came back with trophies, and the people's hearts began to go toward David, and there was a jealousy began to arise. Saul had this great jealousy arose in his heart, and he wanted to kill David. Well, Saul had a son named Jonathan. Jonathan had a good heart, it looks like, very tender. he looked at David, and he knew when he looked at David that the Lord's hand was on David. And he knew in his heart that likely that David would end up being king, where Jonathan really had the right to be king at some point, but the hand of the Lord was on David. He could have been jealous. He could have felt like he could have pointed fingers, but he didn't spend time doing that. He knit his heart to David. He loved David, and David loved him too. Those were a team, those two were. I'd have loved to know what history would have been like if it went on and those two could have spent their time together working in the kingdom. Would have been a beautiful picture. Well, jealousy is a horrible thing. When sin gets in people's lives, it causes all kinds of terrible things to happen. It did that for Saul. It tore his kingdom apart. David actually had been a son-in-law of Saul for a while, but he was chased out. And he was the son-in-law of Saul. But all this sin that and jealousy, everything it built up within Saul, it caused a great anger, and Saul wanted to kill David. And so eventually, Jonathan, loving David, told him, "You're going to have to go." And he took off, and I don't know, maybe very few times and from there on did they probably have much interaction. They may have had some, I think they probably did, but very few times they have very much interaction. But David loved Jonathan. Well, Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth. That's the one we're getting to. He was 5 years old when the Philistines came against the armies of Israel. Saul was in trouble and he knew it. He looked out there and he trembled at the great army that came against him. There was a great fear, and naturally there's something within mankind that when we're overwhelmed with what's before us, we seek for help. And it's right. It sounded like that Saul likely tried to get some sort of communication from the Lord, but it said the Lord didn't speak to him. Neither by prophet nor by dreams. Seemed like there was another. The Lord didn't speak to him. That's a horrible place to find ourselves in when we're in trouble and we can't get a hold of God. That's a horrible place, dear ones. I don't believe that's the case here tonight, though. I think we can. The Lord loves and He's interested, but I encourage us not to let ourselves get to the place that the voice of the Lord is so distant it can never be heard again. Don't cultivate that place in our heart. Don't override the checks of the Holy Spirit. Don't let ourselves get so hardened and so distant that the very love of God can hardly break through the darkness that shrouds our soul. Well, Saul was extremely troubled, but the enemy was there. Somebody, they had to go out and meet him. Saul, Jonathan, the armies went out to meet the Philistines, and they didn't survive. They lost. You know, this is the effect. This is some of the ultimate effect of sin, is we lose and we keep losing. We keep failing. We keep all the bad things that the devil is trying to cause happen in people's lives, those things begin to come to pass. That's the effect of it happened in David's life. Well, not in David, in Saul's life. Saul and Jonathan. Jonathan, it sounds like he was a victim of the circumstance. And then the news came back home that Saul, the king, is dead, and so is Jonathan. And Jonathan's household, there was a little boy, a five-year-old little boy, there in that household that his nurse heard that they're dead, and it sent shockwaves through the household. And
She hurried and grabbed him and decided to take off, going to go hide somewhere. And in the course of running, with all the distress and fear that overwhelms the household at a time like that, something happened, and the little boy either dropped or fell and somehow hurt himself, and he was crippled for the rest of his life. Sad story, isn't it? It doesn't end there, though. He was crippled for the rest of his life. In this chapter, ninth chapter of 2 Samuel, and again, I'm not going to tediously read every bit of it. I'm not good at reading anyway, but I'll try to point you toward it. In this chapter, we find David. He's been king now for a while. The Lord has blessed him with a kingdom, and likely sometimes in the quietness of a moment he was thinking, remembering Jonathan, maybe mourning for the loss of that wonderful friend, that one that supported him, the bosom friend that he had, likely mourning the loss of that and thinking, I wonder if there's any of those left. You see, the effects of sin had such a devastating effect on Saul's family that almost every one of them had been destroyed. Horrible situation. David began to ask, I would like to show them a kindness. And I think it says here the kindness of the Lord or favor of the Lord. Is there somebody in his household, Jonathan's household? And there was somebody, they inquired and said, yes, there's one. And at this point in this story, we find Mephibosheth was likely he was a young man. Because he had a young son by this time. His young son's name was Micah. He said a young son, I don't know how old he was. He was a young son. So Mephibosheth was likely a young man. But things that happened in Mephibosheth's life it was no fault of his own. He was 5 years old when time and chance happened to him. He had no responsibility. He didn't sin. It wasn't him that caused this to happen. Things happened to him, and he at this point is a broken person living over in what's the name of that place I said? Lodibar. That's right, Lodibar. And I think the name of that place meant Lodibar, I believe, in the Hebrew, I believe that's what. I might be wrong, but you can look it up. It meant a place of kind of like chaotic place. There was no real rulers. There was no real sound of clarity there. It was a place of chaotic. That's where he was found. He was taken over here into this area with really little hope and probably some frustration. And I want to tell you, I look at his situation and have to realize that sometimes we can reflect on his life and sometimes see ourselves. There's some brokenness happens to many people. It's no fault of our own. Perhaps in this chapel tonight, there may be people that feel like you've been displaced, shoved aside, dropped, crippled, broken, not knowing how to deal with your tomorrows. I want you to know, it's not King David, but King Jesus is the one that's interested in where you are. He's inquiring tonight where you live. And he's interested in you because he has great hopes. I hope tonight that during the course of what we have to share with you, there will be, if tonight you're in a place of chaos, the word hasn't seemed to hardly reach into that place in your heart, that tonight there's a prophecy of the Lord will come and you'll begin to feel the hope begin to build within your very soul, and something that says a spark of hope will arise and it will say, there is a place, there's a king's house, there is a place, and this man Mephibosheth there came messengers to him and saying, the king's asking for you. And when they brought him there, he came there with an humble, very humble attitude. I'm sure he didn't know what all was in store for him. He may have come a little bit fearful. And he bowed himself before King David, and King David didn't treat him ill at all. He had great love in his heart for this crippled, broken young man that didn't know what tomorrow looked like. He was probably fearful about tomorrow and felt cast aside and stuck over in the corner. Nobody loves me anymore, and don't they know that I should be a king? But I feel so out of place. And David inquired, you know, I believe again that the king, the lover of our souls tonight, is inquiring about where we are. The reason why he's inquiring about where we stand tonight is because he wants to invite us to his place. He wants to bring us home. Sounds good, doesn't it? I don't know how Mephibosheth sustained himself with crippled legs. I don't know. Perhaps off the good graces of his neighbors. I don't know what all, how he sustained himself. But I want you to know tonight, there's a, if you see yourself and feel a little bit akin to what Mephibosheth must have been feeling, and broken and cast aside and out on in a corner that you don't know which way to go and you don't feel like you fit in. And you may feel that way tonight. But I want you to know that the shepherd of your soul is looking for you. You've got a home. He's got a table. He's got a place of rest. David had good intentions for this man. And he called him there not to scare him, but to tell him, I'll take care of you the rest of your life. And that's what David did. In the latter part of this chapter, 13th verse, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame in both feet. Somewhere it said he, here, maybe up above here, in the 11th verse, the latter part of the 11th verse, said, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table. Notice who said this. The authority said this. The king said this. And tonight there is a king that we have, a King Jesus, that says to us, ye shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. That's your identity tonight. You're no longer the broken one that's cast aside. You're the sought after. You're the one that's loved tonight. You're the one that's wanted by the king. The name is being called. He's saying, come. Inviting from our hurt and our damage. No, I'm not here tonight to gloat or to just talk about damage, but sometimes we find ourselves in a place like that, and God calls us to a place of, from a place of brokenness to the king's table. To hear him say, you're here as one of my sons. I know your name. You're my son. You're my child tonight. It's quite a difference from Lodabar to the king's table. A great difference, a great span. I don't know what it was physically back then, but I want to tell you tonight, you may feel like that you're over there in Lodabar. You may feel like that you're captive over in Lodabar and you have crippled legs that can't take you back to where, to the king's table. You may feel like it's too far a travel. It's maybe, Sometimes the need of the soul tonight may be actually, I need to be saved tonight. Maybe that's the brokenness inside the soul. Sometimes it might be hurts that you're carrying, things you don't know how to get past or get over. That the same King calls to all. And He calls to this place of His table. This place of provision. This isn't just meager subsistence when we come to the king's table. This is a rich banquet that the Lord has for us. And I hope somehow to reach through, by the help of the Lord, to reach through the places that have captivated. I know sometimes we can find ourselves in such a dark corner. Maybe we're saved here tonight, but we found ourselves in a dark corner that we don't know how to get out of. And that can happen by no fault of your own. But that's where we are. Sometimes we find ourselves there. We got dropped. My legs are now broken. My spirit's hurting. And I don't know how to get out of there. But the King's calling. And He sends messengers. And He says, I want you to sit down at my table. You don't need to be afraid anymore. You're my child. Come in. Sit down. From now on, this is home. From now on, I'll not leave you nor forsake you. You're my child. You're my son. You sit right here. Make yourself at home because it is home. And all that I have here set before you is yours, son. The fatted calf is yours. All that I have is thine. So I want to encourage us tonight. My point is not to try to hold us long tonight, but hopefully, by the help of the Lord, to shine a ray of hope into our hearts. And if you're here tonight and you need to be saved, I want you to know that the King Jesus is calling your name, sending a messenger to you. Arise, He calleth thee. If your place that you're in, you don't know, if you're in a broken place, and you're saved, but you don't know how to get out of where you are. Again, the messenger comes and says, arise. There's hope. There's a place of healing. There's a place that the Lord Himself wants to take care of you. I'm not going to tell you it's always going to just be perfect from there, but you're home. You're in a place of safety. You're going to have to deal with yourself, but the Lord Himself will be there. You're at the King's home. You're at the home of the King now. And not only is it the home of the King, it's your home now too. I want to encourage you tonight. I know I didn't read a lot of Scripture, but everything I told you tonight can be found in the Scripture. I recounted things because I felt like it would be way too long if I tried to read most of this. But what I really want you to know is that the King's calling our names. And the King loves us. And He's got a home. So if you find yourself broken tonight, and you don't know how to get past the brokenness, and you don't know how to get from where you are back to the King's table, He sent some messengers. And I'll love you back home. Sometimes they'll pick you up on their shoulders and carry you. I don't know how Mephibosheth made it over to the king, but I imagine somebody brought him. They picked him up and took him. And when he got there, the king said, you're home now, son. You're home. You know why Jesus wants you to come home? Because he wants to show you the goodness of His Father, the very blessing of the Lord that He wants to give to every one of us.
So I want to encourage you tonight, if you've heard the voice of the Lord, and you hear Him saying, there's hope for you, come and take advantage of that hope as we stand and sing a song.